reason that we're all here is to be able to hear an inspiring, monumental keynote talk, trying to build up the pressure a little bit here for Christian. We're lucky enough to have Christian Chabot, who's the CEO and co-founder of Tableau, give a talk that's going to show us the potential of visual analytics and try to prove to us that it's on the cusp of widespread acceptance. So please help me welcome Christian.
Thank you, David. I am number four for the audiovisual crew. There we go, yay. Well, thank you for that droll and underwhelming introduction that in no way queued me up for a situation in which I have to deliver something amazing. And I really do want to first just thank you for the invitation to speak at this third annual VAST conference, particularly in light of the unexpected and last-minute cancellation by Joe the Plumber. The conference organizers could not possibly be faulted. I mean, his rise to celebrity in the exact same month at VAST, I mean, I think you would agree, could never have been anticipated. I'll do my best to follow. Actually, before I go there, let me maybe say a word of introduction. A friend and hero is maybe the best word. A friend and hero and mentor of mine is a gentleman named Irv Grossbeck, which I would think no one in this community is familiar with. And Irv is someone who in 1963 had the wisdom and foresight with $3,000 to found a company called Continental Cablevision. He's a professor at the Stanford Business School where I did my graduate work. And Continental Cablevision has turned into what is now called the cable television industry. And I once asked Irv for some advice. It was on the eve of graduation, and I said, what advice would you impart upon us young and ambitious minds? And what followed was that hour of just perfectly crystallized and distilled career life advice you get only after many, many decades of thinking, all of which I've now completely forgotten. The problem with life advice is that by the time you need it, 10 years have passed, and so here I am. But there is one little thing he said that day that I've never forgotten. I don't know why this little tidbit I've carried with me. He said, if you endeavor to be a leader of your generation, young man, and you are interested in being involved in something that is truly transformative, in breaking the bounds and expanding human potential, you know, it's going to sound kind of funny, but look for the conference. Look for the conference in its first or second or third year. Look for the conference where there's hundreds of people, not thousands of people. And in fact, on the opposite side of the coin, if you're looking into an area and there are already four or five major conferences supporting basically the same field of inquiry, and the tenets and argumentation, the tenets and principles of the field are basically no longer up to much argumentation, and you attend the conferences and there are already thousands of people there, you know, the truth is it's probably too late. Look for the one that's at that early stage. And so I'm here, I'm actually really flattered to accept the invitation to deliver this keynote because to me, this is that conference. I say that because I believe rather strongly that visual analytics is poised to explode. Now, what manner of creature is this saying this? I'm in a room with potentates of the field of visual analytics. Got to butter you up early before I get going, right? I have members of the academy, great researchers in the fields, all the different disciplines related to the field of visual analytics generally. What manner of creature has taken the stage for this 50 minutes? I sell visual analytics. I actually do it for a living. There are a few of us bold warriors out there, and I'm here to comment on my experiences from the field. In some ways, I feel I have retreated to a safe harbor where I am understood again, at least partially, because obviously it's a new fight. Okay, it's maybe no more difficult than technological breakthroughs before, but it certainly is difficult because it is in its early years. Okay, so why specifically do I think visual analytics is poised to explode? Well, first of all, less important than the maybe general reasons I'll list is I just feel it. I'm out there every day. The world needs our work. And now is the time. And I'm going to give a whole talk about this, lest there be doubters. So I think there are four general reasons, none of which have seen a step function, but all of which are coalescing into really bringing visual analytics into the forefront in terms of a variable, or in terms of a description I'm going to use over and over again, which is basically for mass adoption. Okay, obviously visual analytics has been and always will be in great and important use in niches of the world in all disciplines. But what I'm here to say is that visual analytics is actually poised to explode for everyone. Everyone in quotes, but basically millions and millions of people beyond use the technologies today. The first is data explosion. You guys are world experts in this subject. I don't even need to comment on it. In short, the machines we've made over the last 30 years are producing data themselves at orders of magnitude higher rates than we ever produced it as human beings. The second is technological advances. You know, fields have punctuated equilibrium moments of great innovation. I think the last 10 years in this field generally and all its kind of satellite fields around visual analytics and the next 10 years are truly important ones. There's one quote Jock McKinley, who's here with us today, likes to use, at least he used in a paper he wrote. And I always like, he said, basically, visual interfaces and databases are each, you know, two of the great success stories of the whole computer revolution of 40 years. But their synergy to date has been very modest, probably because visual interfaces focus primarily on human capabilities, while databases focus primarily on efficient query processing. And in fact, being out there as a practitioner in the field, I'll tell you it's true. There's very little synergy between research going on in those areas. And from my perspective, everyone has their own definition of the real value of this community that's developing. But from my perspective, it's actually the opportunity to start bridging those arenas and put tools into the hands of people that can use them every day productively that is the real value of the visual analytics community. General awareness, no doubt, has been increasing. Okay, you can see that from the topics today. I mean, in the run-up to Fannie Mae's implosion, they were ordering Tableau products in droves. Okay. You know, I don't think there's an educated person involved in any aspect of the global financial crisis, which is probably the number one issue on most people's minds, along with the election, of course. And I don't think there's a person involved looking at that, either looking at why we are where we are or where we need to go, who's not staring at a bunch of data. Okay, data has really risen as a respected source of cognitive authority outside of small circles. In the last 5 years, books like Supercrunchers and Freakonomics have become bestsellers. Okay, I mean, really, I'm not claiming any step function, but this general rise of awareness of the importance of analytics and the fact that, honestly, more of us would do it if it were easier has really kind of entered the mass awareness. And my definition of mass is a little different than most people's. The fourth reason is the one you don't actually know. You know the first three, so sorry for wasting your time. The fourth one is one you might not know. I'm just going to provide a little commercial perspective, which is, you know, when I talk about mass, one of the things I focus on, because I'm the CEO of a commercial software company, I think about business users. I used to be a business user. I'm very familiar with them. I sell to them every day. And I think to get mass adoption, and the real opportunity for great impact, is selling tools and software and applications that people in businesses of all sizes and shapes and problem types and functions and training levels can use to solve problems every day. Okay, very plain to speak. That's what we believe the mission is. The holy goal is. And, you know, you might just ask the question, since you may not be involved with commercial software very often, you know, well, who is providing tools today? Actually is a germane question. And one thing that's happened over the last 5 years is the major vendors of tools that people in businesses of all sizes in our country use today to collect and report on and analyze and distribute information to other people in their organizations are companies that fall under a rubric that became known as the business intelligence industry. And they had names, they had and have names like Brio and Crystal Decisions and Business Objects and Cognos and Information Builders and Hyperion, and I can list 10 more, all of them billion-dollar enterprises. Okay, these are not experiments. These are companies that do, in fact, sell the piping of the vast majority of people who do anything useful with business analytics today. And if you didn't know, I just wanted to give you a little news report. All of these companies have been purchased in the last 3 years. Okay, so there's been massive industry consolidation. And as the historians of economics like to point out, you know, often these technological waves follow very predictable paths. And the one going on right now is just textbook. I wish just someone would, hopefully they're putting in business school textbooks as the classic example of a group of companies who were all formed about the same time. Every single one of them was formed between 1988 and 1993, basically, okay? Who rose the wave of data explosion and became multi-billion dollar publicly traded enterprises that over time started to become a little lazy and fat. Okay, how many times do we have to see the story? And okay, for the economists in the room, you know how well known this story is. It's happening right now in business intelligence. Virtually every one of them has been purchased by a Goliath supernova of technology, the IBMs and the SAPs that are effectively mining them for their maintenance streams. Okay, which is business speak for just screaming the cash off of them. Okay, innovation has slowed or stopped altogether. And as a result, there is literally out there in the field screaming interest, especially amongst the more early adopter set of business people, knowledge workers, people who just go to work every day trying to get a job done, for better tools, right? The fact is most business people can go online and see visual interfaces more sophisticated and compelling and useful on the homepage of Amazon.com than they can find in their $10 million corporate reporting system. Okay? So there's really this lag in business software going on right now, and there's no better time, if we can all get together, there's no better time to strike than now. Okay? So for these reasons, I think actually that the most important 5 years in the commercialization and adoption of visual technology, which is the only subject I'm here to talk about, the most important 5 years in the next 30 years are going to happen in the next 10 years. Okay, how's that? Okay. Okay, maybe. I'm reminded of that Bilbo Baggins. I like each of you half as much as... Okay, well, we'll go there. The most important 5 years is going to happen in the next 10 years. Okay, so we hope it is still the next 5 years. Clearly, the economic crash may impact that. But personally, as just sort of an evangelist and user and salesman of visual analytics technologies, I just think there is great PR elegance, if nothing else, a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling in the fact that the solutions, many of the solutions to be precise, to our most modern and technological and pressing of problems, which is this data explosion, okay, is going to be solved by tapping one of the most ancient parts of our brain. And there's that great quote of entrepreneurship that has been attributed now to so many people, I'm not going to try to pick one. Okay. But it basically says, you know, at first they'll say it's impossible. And then they'll say, okay, all right, it's possible, but it's not needed. And then they'll say it's needed, but it's always been obvious. All right. That's where visual analytics is going to be in the next 5 or 10 years. Okay, who is Tableau Software and who am I? I actually haven't introduced myself. Tableau Software is one of the leading companies commercializing visual analytics technologies. Our focus is on the for everyone part of the statement I have written up there. We literally full-time do nothing else, 100-person company going on 200, do nothing else full-time than dedicate ourselves, bringing an ethic to work every single day around a single mission, and that is to bring visual analytics technology to everyone. Okay? Our company origins are a little bit interesting. Right here, actually, in the front row, we have Professor Pat Hanrahan from Stanford University and Dr. Chris Dolte. They were working under DOD and DOE grants at Stanford between 97-ish and 2002 on research projects concerning the effective visualization of large multidimensional data stores, effectively. No real specific commercial aim or at the time, really just true research, university-funded research. And they were themselves building on the work of Dr. Jock McKinley from about 10 years earlier in the mid-80s, who wrote his thesis on visualization systems of structured data. The company is based in Seattle. We effectively are a Stanford spin-out of the textbook variety. Stanford actually is a small shareholder in our company. We follow what we hope is to be the next up in the long line of successful companies to come out of the computer science department at Stanford. I think if there's one other company point just to make is, of course, the old entrepreneurial advice is the first thing you should do is surround yourself with people smarter than you are, which is exactly what we've been doing, and in my case wasn't particularly difficult. But we have some great people at Tableau, and I think if I were to call out one, it would be the chairman and founder of Adobe, actually just joined our board. And so I think no greater testimony to how serious we are about bringing visual analytics to everyone than that marriage. We believe like we believe anything that the number of people in the world who will use visual analytics technology every day to solve problems is not one user smaller than the number of people who use Adobe products. Who am I? I am a former data analyst. I worked as a senior economic analyst at a consulting firm for many years before doing some research in economics and writing a book on the euro. My sensibilities I bring to the table at the company are usually from the data analyst perspective. I'm also a former visualization entrepreneur. I was lucky enough, along with Dr. Chris Dolte, this is our second company, commercial venture, along with Dr. Chris Dolte and someone you may know, Dr. Manish Agrawala, who's now a professor at Berkeley, to found a different visualization company called Beeline Software, which helped people effectively visualize route maps. Okay, non-uniform scaled mapping was a new invention that we brought to bear, and we had the good fortune to be able to commercialize that for millions of people, millions of lost people, basically helped to get them where they're going. And one night when I was at the Stanford Business School, I had the pleasure of walking on a rainy evening over to the Gates Building where Chris and Pat showed me their great work. It was originally called the Polaris Project, the Polaris and Rivet projects. And after seeing what they had invented, I decided I would be formally employed. I quit my job and quite literally decided to spend the next, at least 10 years dedicating my life and my career to commercializing visual analytics. That's what I do. When we started the company, we were susceptible to some of the common myths. You inherit some part of the general corpus of knowledge that has been built up and talked about at conferences like this and in coffee shops and in Silicon Valley about commercializing visualization-related technologies. I boldly predicted, even I actually have this in our original business plan, that there were two groups of users who could benefit from visual analytics. The first, of course, is scientific researchers, and particularly those of a biopharma variety, people doing large multidimensional investigations into new drug discoveries and their attributes and drug pipelines. And target number two, pure-blooded bean counters who particularly from the finance profession. Finance is often called out as an area that's ripe for benefiting from visual analytics. And the classic spreadsheet jockey was something that my business whiz mind identified. Okay, so I was remarkably short-sighted, okay? The reality is absolutely everyone is benefiting from visual analytics. We are one of the fastest growing software companies in the world right now, okay? And I'm telling you, there isn't even a mild cluster of scientific researchers or financial professionals in our customer base. It's literally everything under the sun. For John Nakamoto at Quest Diagnostics, visual analytics is the results of tests that try to correlate patients and potential prognoses. Interestingly, he's not actually using any of our visual analytics products for any of the scientific work that goes into those tests. He's using it to improve the turnaround time between their customers and their lab. Quest Diagnostics customers are basically hospitals and organ transplant centers, as an example. And in a real example, he actually presented this at our first annual customer conference this year. He went to an hour of beautiful, interactive, visual analytical workbooks he'd created at his desk with Tableau that essentially saved their number one customer, a customer who was 25% of their revenue. Okay, they were in big trouble if they couldn't solve that one. And visual analytics showed them that the sharp increases in turnaround times that were happening between tests being requested from a specific organ transplant center and their fulfillment were both the fault of some process control problems within Quest and the fault of the customer who had been doing a whole litany of things incorrect. So visual analytics there, the real impact wasn't just reducing turnaround times for a major diagnostic center, blah, 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 okay. It also just cemented a customer relationship. Okay, visual analytics was the work, that was the workbook. Customer and company sat down together with and worked with to investigate their problems. And as a result of this victory, Quest Diagnostics went from literally a rule where the organ transplant center had just decided Quest would be banned from further drug diagnostic tests and that they were going to bake off the entire contract, to securing that contract, turning that decision around, and growing a revenue from that customer 25%. Okay, it has nothing to do with the scientific aspects. To Cindy Sedlacek at Cornell University, many people in this audience will, I think, appreciate this example. You know, visual analytics is the progress of students and their teachers. That's what it is to them. Okay, they actually replaced one of these old school business intelligence platform framework beasts that have dominated corporate America for 20 years with a visual analytics system from Tableau. And if I were to put it in a line, especially for those from the academy, in essence, she went from a mode where they were able to deliver reports back to the colleges about admission rates and failure rates and salary levels and compensation and all sorts of things about the state of a college, okay, to one where those deans and professors could answer their own bloody questions. Okay, it's essentially what happened. Okay, a staid, static, old-school report distribution system was replaced with an interactive, immersive environment. Immersive is sort of a ridiculous word. An interactive environment where people could, deans from colleges could actually answer their own questions. In that actually specific study, she claims to have taken a project that was $1 million over budget and in which they had invested 800 hours, primarily in report design stuff, because you need some expert to go design some report that then gets shipped off to someone who actually has the question, with a Tableau implementation that they did in 8 hours. Okay, so the promise and the impact of visual analytics technology when deployed correctly is literally that stark. Okay, oops, was I showing the wrong slide? We have a lot of defense customers. I can't name all of them, but I will say that all of the three-letter intelligence agencies are active users of visual analytics technology, both from Tableau and other companies. And one example, Tableau's products, their drag-and-drop analytics products, I'll actually show you them today. They actually are the interface to the definitive database that holds every single IED explosion in Iraq. So when there are questions about the attributes of those explosions and their patterns and their outliers and their trending and the behavior and their totals, okay, they're actually opening a visual analytics package. To Microsoft, this is back home in Seattle. We're a Seattle-based company. Visual analytics is an essential tool, literally essential, to how they make video games, which ignites the kind of joy and imagination of 14 million teens. Okay, well, actually, with this audience, maybe it's more. Okay. You know, this right here actually is a Tableau visualization. Someone, graphic designer, did this collage, but that actually is a Tableau workbook. Okay, that's a visualization produced in Tableau Desktop. And that literally is the dungeon map of one of these first-person shooter games. And the colors correspond to how people are dying. Okay, so it turns out when you're designing video games, we've since been taught by Microsoft, this is the Xbox group, obviously, if it's too easy to die, people don't like the game. But if it's too hard to die, people don't like the game either. Okay, so you effectively have an optimization and design challenge where people aren't able to just do some batch statistic thing that spits out how to design a game. No, it uses intuition, okay? It uses complicated design parameters and instinct and art to create a compelling experience. Visual analytics is perfect for this. Now, one of the best ways I see how people are actually using visual analytics technologies is the screenshots they actually send to us. I found this is like infinitely more useful than any top-down survey that the marketing department is going to go commission. Okay, people just send in, hey, you guys know it could do this? You know, look what we're doing now. And the ones from Xbox are really good. You know, normally you might see like a color legend, and it'll say, you know, red is accounts payable, and blue is accounts receivable, and orange is behind schedule. You know, you're falling asleep as you're looking at it, right? The ones from Xbox, you know, red, the color legend says, you know, arrow to the eyeball. Blue, trident to the stomach. I was not previously familiar with the fact that you could die with a trident to the stomach. But it really is, visual analytics has become instrumental in designing great video games there. Okay. When I say everyone, I mean everyone. I don't mean just early adopters in finance departments. Okay. This is a small slice of our somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 companies using Tableau products. Okay. Think of the impact of that. And of course, we're just getting started. some of our biggest customers are Google and Microsoft. No better testimony than the fact that visual analytics offers something unique to the typical stack of business software tools people use than Microsoft, a company who vends, who sells no fewer than 5 major analytics products. Okay? Excel, Performance Point, reporting services, ProClarity, I can name like 10 of them, I think. Okay? Then they're one of the largest customers in the world of Tableau's products. Okay? Visual analytics is new, it's different, it's valuable, and it's consumable by people who previously knew nothing about it. That's what we do every day. I'm not going to read through this whole customer list, but literally it goes down to Joe the plumber. Global 5 million. Joe the plumber's probably got a spreadsheet. He's probably got an Access database. He probably has QuickBooks, unless if he goes forward with his purchase with his business, of course. You know what I mean? And it's hard to understand. Sometimes people ask me, what's the real mission of Tableau? I'm like, okay, it's not the high-level stuff. Just boil it down, baby. What is it? I say databases are too hard to use. They're too hard to use. Okay? I mean, look at these customers. Mine not. We had a fire district call out of the blue. A fire chief called. Said, we don't understand our 911 calls. Everything's gone to bleep. They have a huge visual analytics deployment now at the fire station. Okay, at the district level. Okay, looking at the analysis of 911 calls. Okay, so everything and everything is touchable by visual analytics. In fact, I think the addressable market is literally this. Do you have data? Do you have a database? That's usually our only qualifying question. Okay, not have you decided in the last 6 months that a high-performance visual analytics system is enough? That's what's been holding it back, guys. Okay. What does success look like to us? We want to be the Adobe of visual analytics. Okay. You maybe not have never thought of slicing software this way. I just pulled this together so we could populate this with lots more examples. But think about software products that actually I'm here to talk about mass adoption, right? Adoption of technologies. Think about some comparable products in their bins. I like to slice it by order of magnitude. Number of people using it. I kind of like that one. I like it better than money and all this stock price and all this stuff. How many people are using it? Crystal ball is a thing that truly that old financial analyst I described in the earlier slide would use to run Monte Carlo simulations. It has, I think, 30 or 40,000 users worldwide after 20 years of business. As you get into the hundreds of thousands, you get solutions that a whole industry will adopt, but generally don't go outside of the industry. Again, there's exceptions to everything, but I'm just saying generally. A merchandise management system from Retech will have hundreds of thousands of users. Very successful company, publicly traded, recently bought by Oracle as well. But boy, everything's being bought by Oracle now I think about it. Pro Engineer from Parametric. Photoshop, AutoCAD is in the next layer up. Millions of people use a product like Photoshop every day. Okay. Get the tens of millions, you're talking Crystal Reports, which has become the worldwide standard for banded reporting in most businesses. I know some of you won't know what that is. You're like, how on earth does a product that's on 10 has 10 million? How have I never heard of it? Well, the business software market is really ridiculously big. Okay? And, of course, hundreds of millions of people use products like Excel and Acrobat. Look at something interesting here, guys. Look at those top three most favorable widespread products. Three of them are visual design products. And right? Photoshop, Acrobat, you could say. Okay, and AutoCAD. And the other three are analytics products. Okay, so your suspicion when you hear the claim that visual analytics is condemned to a niche, that it is for scientists, that it is for governments, that it is for high-end early adopters who are intensive analysts who love multidimensional displays and want to be the hero who uncover the gem finding in their job, your suspicion should raise the minute you look at this chart. Visual analytics will be no less pervasive than Crystal Reports. Okay, please don't hold me to a year, but it's coming. Okay, applications that get in that higher category, we are seeing all the signs of all countries. We have users in 40 countries, all industries. Literally, if I try to enumerate industries, it would be ridiculous. And furthermore, the distribution is almost uniform. Actually, the distribution is about proportional to the size of those industries. Okay, so there's nothing special going on with the adoption of our technologies. All job functions is a really important point, and broad skill levels. Now, the audience right now is bifurcating, okay, into at least two groups. Okay, well, splitting into at least two groups. Okay, some of you are thinking, oh, okay, all right, you are 15 minutes in and you have lost all credibility already. Okay, that is just way, way too big. I've been researching. researching this field for decades. I have seen the carcasses of Silicon Valley companies founded on visualization come and go. In fact, I have a big bin, of their names. There is no way that this is going to go beyond high-end analysts in specific niches that have been closely tailored to their vertical context. Okay, you have your rose-colored glasses on, Chabot, and I just don't buy it. Well, I'm going to spend the rest of my talk actually talking to that group, but I know there's another group out there. Okay, I need to acknowledge you. Some of you are saying, Chabot, you are 15 minutes in and you've lost all credibility. Okay, that is way too small. Wake up. It is the age of Google, baby. Okay, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of users virtually overnight. Why are you confining yourself? Why are you saying this community can at best go to a few million people who use the technologies every day? I agree. Watch this space. Watch Tableau's product announcements in the next 12 months in particular. But I will say something else. I think even those who do have a tremendous impact on much, much larger numbers of people in probably lighter, more pragmatic everyday ways, almost certainly online, I don't believe they will truly grab the winner space. Not that there's one, but those that set of companies who really comes in will really grab the winner space unless they address private data. Okay, look at our inventions. Look at your inventions. Okay, look at what's coming out of this research community and look at the impact it can have on humanity in the next 50 years. You know, if something widespread online, light, and kind of, thin, okay, and which addresses only public data comes out and sort of sweeps the world, which I think will happen, and hopefully Tableau will be the company that does it. The fact is you really haven't optimized your impact unless you also have products that are helping companies. When I say companies, I'm talking about nonprofits, I'm talking about governments, I'm talking about institutions, I'm talking about businesses, I'm talking about LLCs. I use it as broad word. Organizations, okay? Unless you help them with their own data behind the firewall, which, yes, indeed, they are very often very reluctant to upload to some server in the sky, I don't think you're really we don't believe that you're really grabbing the winner's wing. Winner's ring in terms of the ultimate the optimal impact. Okay, now I'm going to go back to group one, okay, because I actually think the information visualization and visual analytics communities honestly are held back a little bit by stereotypes. So I'm going to take a stand here today. Okay, I'm not going to be very, very soft about what I say in terms of my beliefs, and at the very least I hope it crystallizes some discussion. Okay, one of the first things me, Chris, and Pat did is we sat down and we talked about the fundamental value of visual analytics when we started Tableau software, okay? And so we came up with a list of kind of core principles that drive adoption of these technologies. Not a bad thing to do when you're trying to bring it to an audience. You know, number one is, people adopt visual analytics primarily to help them see and understand complex data, right? They adopt it to help them see and understand massive data. We're swimming in data, and there's these giant data sets, and people grapple to just do something, virtually anything cognitively with them. They don't even know where to start, usually. Okay. People adopt visual analytics to benefit from brand new visual paradigms. Excuse me, new visual paradigms that help them see and understand data more effectively. Number four, they adopt visual analytics primarily to help them see and understand those hidden insights in the data that are trying to scream out at you but you can't see. And finally, people adopt visual analytics primarily to help analysts save time. One of the most important moments, at least in our commercialization efforts of visual technology, was the moment we realized not one of these statements is true. So this where I'll go past general statements and kind of get to some meat. I'm going to take a stand here. Last year, actually, Stephen Few spoke to some of the misconceptions of people outside of the information visualization community have of the community. I'm actually going to talk about some of the misperceptions the community has of itself, because it feeds back to my main point about how visual analytics is poised to explode. Okay, people adopt visual analytics primarily to help them see and understand complex data. This statement has truth to it. They certainly do that. I think the word primarily is a problem. Okay, and in fact, if I were to replace one word in this sentence, I would replace it with simple. Most data is actually simple data. Okay. let me actually go to a concrete example, because I don't want to get too theoretical without just kind of rolling up my sleeves. Okay, let's take this guy right here. I actually named it Simple Data. Okay, here's a data set. How big is it? 7,000 rows. But it doesn't even matter how long it is, how many records there are. Look at the data set. If I walked into any company, absolutely any Tableau customer, okay, or probably any company, and claimed this is a complex data set, I would be escorted out of the building. Okay? This is an extremely simple data set compared to what most people are seeing every day. So you might conclude, well, you know, boy, that's just not the sweet spot for visual analytics. There's nothing I can really think that we would talk about, guys. I guess the meeting's over. Right? Let's pick it up, and I'm going to throw it on Tableau Desktop, which is a visual analytics package. It'd be fun to send this data around, actually, to all of you afterwards to use with some of the stuff you guys have on your desktops. Okay? So this is the Tableau interface, just basic orientation, just so you know what I'm about to do. It's a desktop product. It installs in a couple minutes, and we take the fields of the data, whether it's a giant data warehouse you connect to or whether it's just some file you threw on it on the web like I just did. You know, it basically just takes the fields. So there's the order date field we had. Remember that thing had two fields? Okay? And it took the sales total field. We kind of create some other fields, but basically there they are. So let's investigate. Tableau is a drag and drop visual exploration canvas, in essence, that anyone can use of virtually any skill level. So let's take up that sales total and, you know, drag and drop. I dropped it to the row shelf, which basically creates this big blue bar. Okay, it looks like the total of all of those values in that set, that data set I was just sent was $8 million bucks. Okay, or maybe it's not dollars, $8 million. Okay, well, let me break that down by date. Okay, I'll throw date on the picture. Oh, I've already discovered something. Simple data set, but I found something already. Okay, it looks like we peaked in 04, actually, and then plummeted, and then started to recover. Well, I'm kind of a finance guy, so I'm going to drill in and see what the quarterly effect was. My board is all about the quarters. Oh, more insight. You know, it looks like every single quarter of that banner year was higher than every single quarter we've ever had since. That's a deeper level of insight. Well, let me look at this again. Okay, it looks like Q4 kind of spiked, you know, 07, because now I'm looking at 08, right? And it looks like actually the year got better as we were progressing. You know, I'm a retailer, so I want to slice stuff a little bit by more of a weekday perspective. I obsess over weekdays because I'm a retailer, because that's how I staff people, that's how I do my promos, etc. And, you know, more findings. You know, imagine trying to find that. Okay, that, even just that insight. Imagine how long it takes someone at their desk right now to find that level of insight from that file I just sent. Guys, you're setting the bar too high. People's tools out there in industry are literally pathetic. Okay, people don't even have the ability to go do this that fast. Now, they'd get there eventually. They'd spend 45 minutes in a charting wizard. Okay, 45 minutes for this? I mean, heck, we're just getting warmed up. Well, what have I found here? Okay, we have this kind of Saturday effect. I can see a lot of different things here. Boy, Saturdays really were banner to carry the 06 number. You know, they kind of started recovering here. As the week went on, days got better. But, you know, I looked at my quarters. I looked at my weekdays. Well, hey, visual analytics, I thought it was all about multi-dimensional insight. Well, let me pick up that order date field again. I've only got two fields to pick from, okay? So I can't exactly go on a fishing expedition. Let me pick up that same field again. And this time I'm going to drill it down by quarter as an example. Now I'm looking at my weekdays and my quarters. How long would it take the world's 500 million knowledge workers to go back to their desk right now and do this with the file I showed you? Anywhere between 30 and 90 minutes for a basic series of questions with a basic data set. Okay? Think of the impact visual analytics can have. Now here I've discovered something kind of interesting. I see that, okay, so note I did something clever. Like visual analytics, I love the fact that the community always thinks, you know, we can build visual specifications that are higher level and more flexible, okay, than the basic queries you might type or write or the basic kind of classic chart forms that might be scripted in a framework. So I actually broke out the quarter level of detail of that same column on a different axis from the year and the weekday. And I can see something like, you know what? In Q4, I was excited about 07 because it looks like going into 08, we're going to be rolling, right? But boy, you know, I look at every single quarter of previous years, okay, and I see that Saturday was key. Now, again, I'm a retailer. I know why. Q4 is the holiday season. And weekend shopping days are huge. They just trump all other days during the year. And every single year I have seen Saturdays carry those banner days, okay, can't really lift the quarter, really lift the annual results. But I did not see that. So even though I was encouraged by the way 07 ended, I actually did not see that huge Saturday effect, which means I was doing something fundamentally wrong, okay, or had bad luck, whatever causality is a different layer, right? But something is wrong that might impact my assumption about how to plan for 08. Let me actually double-click and drill into Q4, okay? Oops, why is that not clicking? Oh, there we go, okay. I'm just drilling into the fourth quarter there. And then I'm just going to change this to a circle so I can view it a little differently. And then I'm going to go up, I'm actually going to disaggregate, okay? So by disaggregating in Tableau, like as you can in many visual analytic systems, I can actually drill into all the data. I don't have to stay in summarized mode, okay? In fact, now I'm going to pivot this. Just all I'm doing there is rotating the, I've got a swap button that just lets me just literally just swap, rotate it, okay? Just so I can have those weekdays be a little more readable, okay? And again, I can now see the detail here. Look at the Saturdays in previous years. In previous years, in Q4, remember, I'm filtered on Q4. Every single year, I've had those banner Saturdays that carried the day. So I've now learned that that aggregate total that showed Saturdays were off in Q4 and 07 was not due to just one bad miss. I didn't have one single banner Saturday in December. Was I running the same promotions? Was I staffing the same? What was going on in the economy? Let me actually take this. I'm going to add a key part of visual analytics, especially for the masses, is it is as important for its communication value as it is for its analytical value. Okay, so let me annotate this and just say, see the big Saturday absence. Poorly worded, but it's an annotation. There we go. Let's give this whole thing a title, make it very practical, which is my job here today. And of course, I'll copy it and go over to our good friend PowerPoint, which is passed out like opiates to the masses of business users. And there we have a specific type of visual result using data 10 million people have on their desk right now, a bunch of dates and a bunch of values that they're kind of interested in, okay? And I've gone from raw data to exploratory investigation to punch testing to a couple findings I think that are interesting to drill down investigation of detail to presentation if I weren't talking in basically, 10 minutes, maybe even less. Okay, this is the type of impact visual analytics can have. And guys, I am dealing with a data set with two columns in Excel, okay? So you might agree that the framing of a problem matters. And I'm an adoption guy, okay? So I think that's probably true in research, but it's certainly true in commercialization. You must agree the framing of a problem, like the framing of topics in political debates, okay? I'm having a problem with my microphone here. Matter. And I think one of the shortcomings of people in the visual analytics community, both in research and in industry, is it's always being framed as this thing for hugely complex data, right? And I think it's selling itself short, okay? So, oops, excuse me for a second. So we are always happy to talk to people about very complex data, because imagine the same analysis if I had 5 more dimensions, okay? 50 more follow-on questions immediately present themselves, okay? So the value certainly goes up as data gets more complex, but I think the field has been unnecessarily held back, at least in industry, due to this framing, okay? Okay, and the fact is, I can't even find a definition of visualization in InfoBiz or visual analytics. This conference included, I go on, and within the first 10 words, every time the field is defined, the words massive and complex appear, right? Small wonder people think it's for niche scientists and PhDs in finance departments, okay? As you can see, I'm rather animated about this topic. Okay, so let's go to the next, what you might call it a myth. Keys to adoption is the way I think about it, because that's our mission. Okay, the next, of course, is the massive point. Every single time there's a conversation about visual analytics and its impact can have for people at their desks every day, the word massive appears. Again, it's kind of true. It certainly is wonderfully massive. Tableau is proud to claim what are probably the largest deployments in the world of real-time visual analytics interfaces against massive data. Customers like Walmart and Nestle and the NSA are doing things that they have data I didn't know was data. I mean, it's massive, right? Just billion-row exploratory investigations, just like I'm doing, okay? But it's not the essence, okay? My talk is about the masses, bringing it to everyone, like Photoshop products, okay? The number of people in the company who desperately need to connect to a billion-row data warehouse and do some analysis at their desks to get a job done by four, guys, you need to get out more, okay? It just isn't true, okay? There are these Robert McNamara groups up in the 17th tower of Lehman Brothers. Yeah, only we touch the data. Only we have every trade. Only we can see the global financial picture. And I think we've just learned how well that strategy worked out. Okay? People are every day going back to their desks. You know, it's frustrating for me as someone who sells visual analytics. You'll go in and sometimes you get the objection, no, we're actually just going to wait until our data warehouse is built and our schema is all perfect and we've scaled it out to a load to an 11 Linux environment and we're putting the blah, 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 you know, and then that's going to be done in 2013, right? Meanwhile, all attendees of the meeting go back to their desk and continue to work with horrible user interfaces with the little data sets they use every day. Industry stuff from websites, files they're passed, stuff that's coming out of machines they built, the little SQL Server or Postgres data mart under their desk. Horrible user interfaces, okay? And so I'm trying to actually dispel this myth, okay? In fact, I'd go so far to say that I actually do not believe it's a useful thing to write down when you're talking about how to bring visual analytics technology to a broader audience. It wouldn't make my list, okay, that you have to be dealing with massive data. I'm not one to go without an example. Oops, same one, sorry. Small data. Okay, again, if I walked into any customer in business, right, small to Citigroup, okay, the bakery to Citigroup on my customer list, and claimed this was a large data set, I would be escorted out of the building. Okay, I can't emphasize that enough. Okay, this is a tiny, tiny data set. So again, you must conclude, according to our kind of old myths of visual analytics, it's not really the crux of the conversation. It's not really going to crucially benefit that data set. Well, let's pick it up. Small data, I'll throw it on Tableau Desktop. Okay, once again, you can see all the fields there. Okay, this one has more fields, but it's, I don't know how many rows it was, 15 or something, okay. Well, let's throw some profit on the screen. And you know, when I look at sales, I like to look at sales versus profit. Okay, let me actually flip that so I can see sort of profit as a function of sales. So if I look at this point right here, I've basically just aggregated that setup. Very quickly got an aggregation. Okay, what was the total sales in there and what was the total profit in there? Okay. And let's investigate again. I might pick up a region and throw that into the picture. Okay, and I'll look and all right, so everyone knows the East is our big market, so it's just not an insight, so I back up. What I just did there is a really important moment. Okay. Visual analytics can save so much time helping people test hunches even when they lead nowhere, because people waste tremendous time doing that. Okay, the easier it is to ask a question, the more questions that get asked. Okay, simple postulate. And so these little things I'll do, like, oh, well, how about ship container? Oh, you know what? I'm not a supply chain guy. I don't even care about ship containers. After seeing the visual, I'm reminded that's a dead end for me. Okay, well, let me pick it up and break it down by product here. I'm a product guy, so I care about our product. So this is interesting. Products have very different distributions, so to speak, or relationships, ratios of sales to profit. Okay, in fact, this kind of great outlier here that profit is through the roof given its level of sales is office machines. Well, how were these things going last quarter? Were they in stock? Let's pick up product inventory, drop that on the color. How's this coming up, by the way? Okay, good. Right? I can see, oh, wait a second. So this is big. So not only are some things being ordered in that set not in stock, it turns out an extremely large portion of the highest sales level and highest profit products, okay, aggregated to the product level, because there's on-the-fly aggregation going on here, right? Okay, aren't in stock. That's a big finding. In fact, let me pick down by day, right? We do our business over time, so let me throw day in the picture. And again, I'll drill to weekday so we can just see. Now I've got more insight. I can see that on Monday, actually, every single thing ordered was out of stock. Furthermore, on Tuesday, I can see that, you know, a large portion of those things that are extremely profitable to the business and important are out of stock. Okay. Well, let's pick up ship container, drop that on the rows, explore that a little bit. I'm speeding around a little bit. I don't see anything of interest. Let's pick up ship method. This is interesting. So I happen to know from finance that we cannot recognize the revenue for an order until it's delivered. Okay? And in my particular business, they actually have to take receipt. Okay? So what I just found is that every single one of our large sale, large profit orders that were ordered on Tuesday have been defaulted to regular air. There's one way to get your CFO to love you. Idea. All large sale orders. Sorry, I'm having trouble typing here. Out of stock. Default to Express. If you've never had your CFO hug you before, this is one way to do it. Okay? That could have a dramatic impact on the financial results of a corporation, particularly if orders are back-weighted at the end of the quarter, as they often are. Okay? You can get this stuff out express when it comes in, and you could literally have anywhere between a 1 and 50% uplift in bookable revenue. Okay? Simple data set benefiting from visual analytics. Okay? So again, my topic is the masses. The topic is everyone. My topic is why are we have between 10 and 30,000 users, doubling every year. This is the essence to what is going on. We're dispelling some of the myths about visual analytics being the big, expensive, costly, complicated system that analysts like McNamara on floor 17 use. Okay, enough. In fact, I hope this is the last year we even talk about this. Okay. Next myth. Oops, sorry. We've got a little delay here. There we go. People adopt visual analytics primarily to help them see and understand new visual paradigms. This is one of the worst. You know, again, you asked for an opinion, so here it is. This is one of the worst misconceptions, even that the visualization community has about itself. Okay? You've probably seen, at least especially on the commercial side, people trying to bring this technology to people. Before you know it, there's websites filled with talk about what the benefits of the technology might be. And there's always tons of language about the tree and the rotating graph and the lens and the hyperbolic this and the heat map and the fractals is the new one. I mean, I'm not going to say none of those things will have a material impact on people using this technology, because it probably will. I don't know. I mean, I would guess it probably will. Okay. What I do know is that it has almost nothing to do with what it's going to take to bring it to the masses. What people need to use every day are proven visual paradigms. Okay? There's a reason you pick up The Economist and 90% of the graphs are line charts. It turns out the ability of your eye to look at the movement of a quantitative variable over time is extremely well serviced by the line chart. Okay? Stephen Fuster, I love in Stephen's books, right? Even the ones he invents, even the visuals he invents, okay, are instantly understandable. There's bars, there are lines, there are headers, there are labels, there are clusters. Okay? I just love it, even in a complicated dashboard. I think this is a really important point about how we get our technology in the hands of more people. Let me say a few comments about this. Okay, so first of all, let me go back to Tableau start screen here. First of all, let me not, I guess, lambast too harshly here. Eccentric visualizations can have a great impact. I promised to talk a lot about customers, so. You know, let me show you one that was actually sent to us. We actually use it now as one of our examples. Okay, so we are believers in new visual views, increasing cognitive potential because they show more variables simultaneously and all this type of thing. Okay, that's all great. Here's one United Airlines sent. A customer did it there, looking at airline data. I travel a lot, so I loved this one. But when it first came in, when this screenshot came in, I was like, what are you doing with the software? Okay. It's not, obviously, it's the, you know, in fact, if you made me define a term, okay, you know, okay, so fine, what's the definition of something proven versus something eccentric? I might say, okay, eccentric or new visual paradigm is something that you wouldn't typically see coming out of a chart wizard. Okay? maybe that's a bad definition, but I think it's a decent one. Okay. And, you know, clearly this would qualify someone. And it's great. I was a skeptic at first, and I looked at it, and they wanted to look at arrival delays simultaneously with number of flights, simultaneously with time. So they wanted to encode the movement of two, the change of two quantitative variables with the third quantitative variable of time. Okay. And actually, I can't fault them. They were fascinated by the fact that in Anchorage, as an example, and actually in there said it was a lot more than Anchorage, but, you know, essentially the season's going on. Obviously, no one's really rushing to Alaska in March. But as the season picks up, the summer tourism season booms, you know, arrival delays, which are the color, actually skyrocket. Okay. But the number of flights is the thickness of that line. And you'll notice as the summer goes on, the number of flights doesn't fall at all, or doesn't fall materially. But the arrival delays plummet. Okay. Their hypothesis, and again, causality has to come from you, okay, their hypothesis is that the airports get their act together. Okay, they've literally gotten lazy in the winter months and have forgotten all the little nice operational things, right, that they had remembered when they were working out of their gourds at the end of August. They've actually kind of forgotten a lot of those things and get used to it. In fact, in their visualization, this is obviously, I'm obviously not showing the real data, it was a pattern you could see in most airports. Okay, it was very interesting. And so those things do have a role, but let me just take, you know, kind of get back to the contrarian point, right? Let me actually take this thing on political contributions. Oh, hold on. This doesn't have what I thought I had. I have some political data here. Let me get it. Everyone gets one demo moment, right? Just give me one second here. Let's do an investigation of contributions. This actually is real data. This is public data. Contributions to the various political candidates. In fact, I filtered on the top candidates. And, you know, as you know, people have to disclose their amount they've given and where they live and a bunch of other variables. So let's pick up the total amount. I think I pulled a month. Okay, in fact, let's see that. Part of visual analysis is actually the investigation of what data you think you're dealing with. Okay, so the total value of contributions in this particular database was $30 million. Let's look at it over time so I can get a better grip of it. Okay, and in fact, I can see, okay, it was a month. Okay, and I can see the ebb and flow as the month goes on. Maybe it's probably weekends where fundraising events occur. Okay, but let me just back up. In fact, let me actually create a new sheet. Often in our package, we see customers create a view, keep it, and then duplicate it so that they can then take their analysis in another direction without impacting where they've been before. Okay, I know there's a lot of work in history is going on right now, so that's very germane to us. Let me take this back and take day off and actually split it by candidate and see what it says. Okay, so surprise, surprise, Barack has raised a lot more money than John McCain. Okay, that wasn't news, but let me pick up state. People here from all over the country, so I thought this might be an interesting thing to show. And I'll add state to the view. I'm doing iterative, multidimensional, interactive visual analysis with the data set that I'm trying to learn something from. Okay, sort of the definition of our field in some ways. I'm just going to rotate it so I can read those labels a little better. One great analytical technique, of course, is the power of the sort, particularly when you realize the sort can go across many different dimensions. Okay, in this case, I don't actually want to sort on the size of the biggest contribution. I want to sort on the state. Okay. So I'm going to just click our one click sort there. And the biggest state of total contribution comes to the top, which is California. By the way, when I pulled this month, I think it's pretty representative. Okay. I mean, I looked for a particularly large month. And then I see New York is actually second. Now, the interesting thing, of course, visually, we can instantly do that magnitude comparison. I can see that Barack outraised McCain by many times more in New York than he did in California. That's your visual thinking processing center kicking in, right? So actually, let me take this stuff. We actually believe a key feature of any visual analytic system is the ability to grab sets visually off of the screen and use them in a subsequent analysis. Okay, if we were going to actually make a list of stuff that define a visual analytic system, I think that task would be one. You can't do that with a chart. Okay, you can't do that with a report. So I'll take this one and I'll call it, you know what, and New York contributions. And then let me go to my next sheet because now I'm pretty interested. I pick New York just because we're on the east rather than California. I wanted to pick a big month and kind of drill in. Okay, I mean a big state and drill in. Well, I'm going to pick up that set that I just identified visually, and I'm going to put it on the filter shelf, and then I'm going to drill in more. I'm going to say, okay, well, where does it cluster geographically? So I'll take state, and I'm going to use a feature in Tableau called Show Me, which basically says, well, show me what you think would be interesting. Okay. In fact, I'll take a zip code, and I'll say Show Me, and it'll give me some choices, but it suggested a map, as you can see, and hopefully if I'm online, I will get an instant geographic analysis. Okay. Now we have something interesting. Everyone knows visual analysis is important for the process of building confidence in data, even cleaning data. Our engineers call this null island. That means there was some null data in there that's being plotted in the middle of nowhere. So I'm going to zoom in to the area where I think the data is interesting. In fact, I'm hoping there's some folks here from New York. Let's go into Manhattan. And in fact, let's take it even further, feeling kind of the heart of it. Now let's pick up amount, and I'll add that in the color. So that's the amount donated. So now the color will be denser, depending on how much was actually donated. Okay, I'll grow these a little bit so you can see them. And then let's pick up the number of records and put it on the size. And then I'm going to count it. Okay, and this is where it starts to get really interesting if you're from New York, because you're going to start to recognize some of these zip codes. Okay, so now something very large or something that had a large number of contributions, something very dark in color, if you look at the color legend, had a large size of contribution, absolute amount. Okay, well now let's break this down by candidate. Are the differences really that stark, even in one of these top performing states like New York? Okay, there's the McCain versus Obama visual of Manhattan, right? And you of course can see it's not just amount, it's also number of contributions, it's actually both, right? Now, maybe I'm writing an article for the New York Times. So I'm going to go pick all the big guys because I know that's what readers are going to love to look at, right? And I'm going to name that a set. Let's create a set and call it, where's create set? Let's call it Big Manhattan. And I'll go over to another sheet and I'll pick up Big Manhattan and use that as the basis for the next stage of my visual analysis. And this time, I literally just want to see the zip codes because that's what all my readers are going to sit there and salivate over. Okay, sort them in order. I'll actually expand it to the entire view. I will add some labels. And if you're from New York, you are currently leaning forward in your chair. Right? It's pretty darn interesting what those specific zip codes were and how their order of magnitudes, their relative magnitudes compare. So I just connected to a data set I didn't know much about. I built a little confidence about it. I looked at the trend over time and saw the range of its domain, saw its domain, right? I split in and looked at an absolute comparative, and then I comparison between the candidates, and then I drilled down by state. Then I defined some sets that were particularly interesting, and I looked at their dispersion geographically and compared them to another candidate. And then I finally got a real juicy visual that people can use to look at the absolute magnitudes and a general summary of the top producing Manhattan zip codes for Obama. I just did a really important and fun and satisfying analysis with data. Sheet one, lines. Sheet two, bars. Sheet three, map. Sheet four, more bars. Why are we under this myth that we have to keep inventing eccentric multidimensional visualizations to solve problems? The key to bringing visual analytics to the masses isn't at all to start inventing new paradigms, although that can certainly play a role. The key is this. It's the cycle of visual analysis. It's the journey, not the destination. Okay? My destination in every one of those times was very basic. It's like kind of chart you'd ever see. I once saw Jack McKinley speak, and someone in the audience was from the Viz community. He actually said, "Bars are boring." And Jack, without missing a beat, goes, "Bars are boring until it's your data." Right? I guarantee you, if I had somehow surreptitiously gotten the top 8 credit card entries on your last bill, put them on the screen right now, in bar format, you'd be bright red and leaning forward or perhaps running for the door, right? So why is there this conception that visual analytics is essentially about new visual paradigms? I don't understand it, okay? Although I acknowledge it has a role. It's about this foraging. It's about this hunch. It's about this sense-making process. The journey, not the destination, is the value of bringing it to everyone. That leads me to point four. Now you're saying, Chabot, look, this one, okay, I might buy part of what you said before, but this one, how could you possibly dispute that people adopt visual analytics primarily to help them see and understand hidden insights and data? Okay, well, again, I'm back in my safe harbor. I'm not being beat up by customers right now. Okay, I'm here to submit to you that this is nowhere near the number one reason people buy visual analytics. It's not even close. The number one reason they buy is to save time. And if you agree the framing of a conversation makes a difference to its endpoint, then this is really profound. Okay? I've learned this. I've got scars all over my body. Okay? I've learned this hard over 6 years. There are a bunch of reasons for this. I'm not going to do a demo because I think my previous demos all speak to it. Look how fast I was doing impactful, relevant, multidimensional analysis with everyday data. There are a bunch of reasons. The first is that most discoveries, most analytical tasks don't actually result in aha findings. This idea that every time I sit down with visual analytics, I need to strip down like Archimedes and go running through the streets, right? Look what the package found for me. Now, we're susceptible to this like anyone because, you know, we look at our website and we love to boast about these customers who do stand up, like John Nakamoto at Quest, and talk about we saved a customer, we saved 20 million, we saved 100 million. But most tasks don't necessarily result in that. In fact, if you're trying to get your users to adopt a system, you're kind of setting yourself, if you know anything about analytics and the way it's done, and what actually happens in the trenches every day, you know you're setting yourself up for disaster if you're saying, hey, Nancy, give this a try. 7 days later, you're going to save $20 million. I mean, you know it's not going to happen. You know? Here's another one. In the very definition of this community, I like the way you guys did this, is you say, hey, visual analytics combines computer graphics and algorithms and statistics and mathematics and design and art and psychology. Well, here I am, ambassador of sales, to tell you that, you know, psychology matters, not just in research, but also in adoption. Okay? I will tell you something. People do not like to admit they need help making discoveries. Okay? They instantly relate to the idea of you can save me time because I'm really smart. I know how to make discoveries. I just need more time. That's the real mental state of most people in analytical jobs. Okay? Most of the time, I'm generalizing a little bit. Okay. In fact, when I was an analyst, one of my specialties was intraday security stock price trading, okay, particularly with regard to potential fraud. And if someone came into my office saying, okay, hey, look, adopt this visual analytics thing because, you know, we're going to help you identify more fraud and do that job better. I'd say, no, you're not. Right? There's a certain defensive framing about, you know, what do you know about it? You know? And the chances are you're not. Because some previous ventures in visualization have tried to solve this. Oh, don't worry, we're going to hire a bunch of experts in every field. Okay, well, seeing as the world has 10,000 different fields of inquiry at least, I'd like to see how big your staff is. So imagine the same person in my office with their financial services expert. The first thing I'm going to say is, okay, well, I'm an expert in intraday stock trading analysis. What's your expertise? I work for Lehman Brothers. I work for Washington Mutual. You have nothing to add to me. Likely. I'm talking about psychology here. Okay. The fact is most people, most of the time, in fact, here's where we get to the point three. You know, again, I don't know how much you guys care about this, but this is reality out there. Most people value their time above all else. They know how to do their jobs. They have 1,000 projects they already want to do. They have 1,000 hypotheses they already want to test. There are new angles every time they see a chart, they have more questions. Okay. The problem is the current state of tools for answering questions from data are extremely time consuming. They do not properly unite, as Jock said earlier in my quote, visual interfaces with efficient query processing. Okay, that's where this community can really have an impact. The last one you probably have guessed already, which is, although analysts are indeed the crux of adopting something particularly like I just showed Tableau Desktop, the real value to bring to everyone, to those 10 million user counts I showed with comparable companies, is the information consumer. Okay, guys, the bar is lower than you think. Okay, go into any company from the grocer to the railway maker, EM Diesels is a big customer of ours, to Google, right? Do you know the main way people in businesses get information today? And I won't count spreadsheets because that's too easy of a target. Okay, so even if you ignore spreadsheets, you know, reports. There's usually some report, basically what is a reporting system. and they're allowed periodically to log in and see some static view. Now, it's typically these days delivered via a web browser. The days of the big, hey, boss, you know, here's your report, are pretty much gone in most cases. So it's very web-based right now, but please, taking a static report with no ability to ask a follow-on question and jamming it into a web browser and calling it interactive analytics, I just don't buy it. But that is the state of most people most of the time in most companies. Or there might be some token drill path you're allowed to do one confined action that someone who doesn't work in your department set up. You're allowed to drill on April down to the state level. You say, I wasn't here in April, and I don't run the states, I run the products. Not too bad. That's the way it's been set up. Okay? And so the real key is really valuing the information consumer, which I think this community is taking more and more seriously, not that it ever didn't. Tableau does this with a product called, primarily with a product called Tableau Server. I'm writing literally with like 10 gigs of data on my laptop, so it's not going to be particularly fast. But, you know, it's totally browser-based. And I would say, in fact, if you looked at that customer story I told early about Cindy Sedlacek at Cornell, the real value of a visual analytics technology was sort of this idea of why ship off a report to someone when you could instead, with the same or less time, ship off a live interactive view? Okay? So someone might log in. This is Tableau Server running now. And I'll start with what looks like a classic conventional report. It's basically a cross tab. You know, I've picked some kind of boring business subject like orders. But it's the type of things people are doing every single day to solve problems with hospital beds or number of orders or number of complaints or the service line. I mean, you name it, we see it, right? Pragmatic reports about the incidence of events, as an example. But now with the visual analytics system, you know, they can actually interact with it. They can tailor it to their needs, okay? They can select an area of interest, as an example, right here, and link off to a related visual analysis. Okay, here I'll grab a related visualization to this report and dive deeper. For many people out there, a system like this is replacing something where effectively they can log in and not have the ability, even as an information consumer, to ask their own free-form follow-on questions. So the goal of visual analytics to the consumer, I think, is to the information consumer, is to give people the ability to ask a follow-on question. That's a framing I just really like. Because often I have to kind of clarify the room in business. Like, what is this? How is it different than statistics? You know, just this, overwhelm, right? It's basically that essence. Can your people right now be given something that maybe an analyst did create, right? But start asking their own follow-on questions. And particularly, can they do it in forms that are visually compelling and interesting and responsive? Okay. In this view, I might select, you know, I can see here that a discussion has followed this particular visualization. Guys, the bar is lower than you think, okay? I'm reminded of that telegram that some movie producer sent to an aspiring screenwriter out east. It says something like, you know, come west to Hollywood. Your only competition is a bunch of complete idiots. Okay? I'm being a little harsh, but, you know, the systems people use to consume information are not sophisticated, okay? They're not easy to use. They take months to deploy. They're not visual. Their idea of analysis is going next, 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 next through a chart wizard, okay? That is the state of the world right now. So you will not see anything but boldness from me on the potential of visual analytics technologies to be used by millions of people in the next 10 years, okay? I have more demo about interactive visualization through the browser, but I think you get the point. So I think my time is coming to an end here. So, okay, good. There I am. What are my final words? I mean, again, I kind of feel like the spy coming into the safe harbor here to deliver an update to the field. I hope it crystallizes some discussion. Even if you don't agree with everything I've said, you know, here are some final words. You know, millions of people need our work, your work. The time is ripe. The state of the art, I will not be soft about it, the state of the art of 500 million knowledge workers' ability to sit down and ask some structured data, some questions, is best described as tragic. Okay? It is truly horrible. I personally, inside discussions, I liken it to web search before Google. Yep, there is hundreds of little things out there. Personally, I was an Excite guy. But boy, the minute you tried that brand new technological invention, which, by the way, was, you know, by some definition, not a step function in terms of their basic insights, okay, it changed the world. Okay, redefined how you make money. Redefined the number of people who would use them and how they would use them, right? And I believe querying structured data in business environments is right for that. The primary barriers to adoption, I'll write them down. In fact, I wrote them down in order. Number one is sheer awareness. Okay, we know about us, no one else does. Number two is perception. Stephen Few, I think, delivered a great keynote last year on that exact subject, the perception of the field. The other ones, you wanted a commercial perspective, so I'll tell you them. Why people can't figure these ones out, I have no idea. Okay? If you were to define the mathematical function that describes the diffusion of visual analytics technologies, you will find as first-order variables, okay, ease of trial. By definition, it's new. So if you cannot experience it and trial it in some way, you are unlikely to spread quickly. Number two is ease of deployment. It's different. Okay, even if I trialed it in some good way, with stuff like Google, this isn't an issue. There's never a deployment. With business analytics, often there is a deployment. But most products people are using today to answer questions from data require deployment, often measured in months, okay, even for a small project. Number three is ease of use. This is where this community can really better visual interfaces and more thoughtful approaches to the cycle of visual analysis, and not just charting as a task, can really just break through and help people of all professions make progress. And of course, there's a pricing thing as well, but I wanted to write them down in both, even though some of them are kind of raw business factors, there they are. I think the really exciting thing is the research community can help this time. I say this time because I was talking to Jock yesterday, who said, Jock came from Xerox PARC, and he said, by the time the internet came along, the web came along, all the researchers on hypertext had already moved on. Right? PARC, did I say PARC? Yeah, moved on from PARC, right? And so I think the difference this time is people can really, this community, as you can see, is in its formative stages. And yet the time is ripe for people to really benefit from the things being produced in the systems and papers being written about. And so I think it's just a great time for this field, both from an academic perspective and from a commercial perspective. Of course, finally, you would be disappointed if I didn't say Tableau is hiring. How am I doing on time? Okay. I guess we're taking Q&A today. Yeah, okay. In the questions, I just do have one small insistence. Please make sure every question that is asked allows me to include the adjective vastish in the response. Please. All right, who's going to get it started? Steven. Just kidding. I won't call on him. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, where?
Hi.
Oh, there you are. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't even see the microphone.
So I do agree that you need to keep it simple. I'm a business user. So I'm from the business intelligence community, work at CBS. But one of the biggest challenges that I think people face in the business community that I don't think was addressed, and I'm hoping you have a point of view on it, is what metrics to even begin to look at. Like, the visualization tools are great, but people don't even know what to look at. Do you have any ideas for that? It's an even earlier impediment.
Yeah, absolutely. I have two comments on that. I saw at one of the events Jim Thomas hosted, the NVAC conference out in Richland, is Bill Cleveland here by chance? Oh, I saw Bill Cleveland, and I made some comment to him along these same lines. I said, often we go in and people feel that unless their data is already perfectly structured, and it's only then that they can finally consider applying visualization. And Bill looked at me like this professor I feared when I was in school looked at me. And he just goes, there is no stage of the analysis process that does not crucially benefit from visualization.
And you walk down and talk to someone more important.
Okay. And I think that's I think it's about education, right? And Bill in his writing and demos has really nicely demonstrated this. There is from the first stage of data collection to data cleansing to the stage you're really talking about, which is kind of building confidence in data. Oh, there you are. Building confidence in data and figuring out what questions to ask. Visualization is crucial. And I ask that because literally, we use Tableau internally actually a lot, so I'll even speak from my personal experiences. When a new data set comes to me or new database comes up, I mean, boy, the first thing you want to do is just kind of see what's out there, right? Because if you're not prompted visually with some sort of input, it's very hard for your brain to enter that visual cycle of analysis loop. So I actually think visualization is uniquely positioned to help people figure out what questions to ask, which is my interpretation of the question. How do I do visual analysis if I don't even know what questions to ask? Not only do I think visualization can help in those environments, I actually think it's a shining environment. I think it's one of the best uses of visual analytics is to literally take, you know, a system, any system, but I'll just stick with Tableau since what I know, and literally start throwing variables on the field. See if the data is, you do your basic hunch testing, your hypothesis testing, your validation. Look for possible relationships, right? And so I think it can really shine there. And I think one of the most important things to do as we do is we'll bring in case studies of people who literally, we have a lot of customers, maybe 10% of our base has literally, if you ask them, why did I buy Tableau? They would say, oh, it's our data cleansing tool. So it's a lot about framing. They actually buy it for that purpose of those earlier stages of analysis. But I'm going to comment on something else, which I don't think was part of your question, but it may have been, so I'll just go for it anyway, which is the industry has built up a backlog of their own beliefs. I picked five that I perceive to have been pervasive in the visual analytics or InfoViz community with regard to mass adoption of visual technology, but the business world has its own ingrained perceptions of how to do analytics and what it means. And you made this comment of, well, I don't even know which variable and which one should we pick and do they all agree? And there is this maxim out there in the BI community that, you know what, we can't do any analysis, guys. I mean, I get this every week. We can't do any analysis because, you know, we have not first defined our terms. You know, unless we are all walking to that meeting with the same definition of cost of goods sold, God forbid, the meeting will go in a terrible direction. So please, we must get our semantic layer down. We must have bibliometric documentation of whatever every variable means and how it's what its evolution was and which departments use it. And they get this constipation, right, about when they can first get started with easy analysis. And in the words of Chris Dolte, our VP of engineering, you know, he once said in front of a customer, he said, you know, there's this myth that if Jane and Tom come to the meeting with analyses that use two different definitions of the same variable, something awful is going to happen. And Chris goes, you know what? I think that's precisely when the richest discussion happens. What better thing could happen than Tom and Jane come to a meeting with different definitions of the same variable? That's exactly where the good marrow of analysis comes out. Okay, so if I were to give a commercial version of my myths, I would probably put that on there. Nancy?
Kristen, thank you very much. It's a really great approach to this community. I have a problem, and I'm not sure whether you've run into this, but I think you probably have, because I have a lot of McNamara's. I work for a bureaucracy, and my bureaucracy is fearful, and that's the best way to describe them. So I always think that it's not just tragic, it's pathetic what tools they have. They told me that it would be 3 years or more until they're ready for visualization tools. And so my management said, well, you need to go to Harvard and learn about negotiation and persuasion so that you don't get frustrated with this measured pace. And I said, well, I like measured pace. That's very tactful. But you know what? I don't need more training. So how is it that one makes a difference in a situation where people are so controlling and so unable to see that they need to empower the people below them?
I have the benefit of knowing where you work, Nancy. And so, you know, clearly I don't have any special advice or insight on that. But I will say an analogous situation we encounter every day. I mean, corporate America is as bureaucratic and slow and resistant to change as anyone, right? I've never had a question like that. I mean, a couple things come to mind. Number one is, whoever told you to go to, you know, Harvard negotiation? I mean, the essence of negotiation is argumentation, you know. And so we're at least trying to collect. The way Chris actually turned, when Chris made that statement about Tom and Jane in front of a customer, I mean, it turned the room. People are saying, yeah, God, he's right. You know what I mean? So often the good argumentation, we're trying to develop our own repository of good argumentation to make. And let me tell you a story. There was a person named Jeff Mills who works for the government at the Minnesota's Pollution Control Agency, actually. And he's a big advocate and customer of Tableau. And he encountered the same resistance to change, but not for security reasons or speed reasons, but due to resistance to change. And particularly, I was actually there, the CIO and the CFO in particular mentioned the just the age of their workforce and their how accustomed they were to doing things. And they literally said, you know, Jeff, this was when Jeff was actually in front of the board of directors, or I guess they call it the management meeting committee of this agency, a 1,000-person agency in Minnesota, and said, he presented his case for adopting Tableau. That was actually what the meeting was about after a long evaluation. And the response was, you know, Jeff, people have been here a long time. You know, it's kind of like those moments you have where you get, I know what's coming, right? You know, there's going to be some ingrained way of thinking. People have been here a long time, Jeff. You know, young people like you, we're trying to hire more. You know that, Jeff. You know, it's stated in our goals. We're trying to hire more. Over time, there'll be more people who'll be more receptive to new technologies, and then we'll be able to do this type of thing. And here I'm sitting in the room, and I can just see the plane going down in flames, right? And I'm kind of a student of leadership, you know. And so one of the things we can maybe help you with over time, Ansi, is help just collect stories we've heard. And, you know, argumentation that works is my central point. And Jeff did the most amazing turn of room I've ever seen in my career, which is why the story just comes instant to life. He just paused there. I'm like, okay. I mean, students of leadership know the right argument can turn a room. A sentence can turn a room just in front of your eyes, right? And Jeff goes, is it our ambition to improve life for the people of this great state at the rate of attrition? or faster than that? 7 days, this is a true story. 7 days later, one of the largest purchases of Tableau software ever was agreed. You know, so I don't have an easy answer, clearly, you know. But you know, I think, yeah, anyway, that's the best I have.
Oh, hi, yes. I'm Eric Beer from Park. And a few months ago, I was talking to some folks at a manufacturing company. We were interested to see how they were using their enterprise resource planning software. And we're talking to some folks who actually run the reports and turn them into spreadsheets and so forth. And they said, well, there were people in the company who refused to use the ERP system, so we have to run these reports for them, turn them into spreadsheets, and then kind of bring them to them. But it's just as well, because if we let them touch the ERP systems themselves, they'd give the wrong queries and they'd get the wrong answers. So I wonder if you run into these kinds of attitudes and what your strategies are.
All the time. First of all, it's fun to just point out the irony to any company. And you have to do this with your champion, not with the general room. Because often what you're doing in these situations, it comes back to argumentation. It's kind of like I actually once observed when I was an analyst, I sometimes consulted on legal cases. And one case I was involved with, actually I was behind a one-way mirror as you actually watched the jury deliberate the results of the expert testimony on both sides. And this Armani suit, you know, 40-year veteran of the law was there. this was two very large companies battling each other. And a very well-paid attorney was there who just, you could just tell, this is what he did for a living, right? I said, like, what's our goal here exactly? It was my first one. And he goes, well, we're not trying to convince all 12 members of the jury that we're right. We're trying to give the two people who figured out we're right, the arguments they need to convince everyone else. Right? Just a very interesting insight. And of course, that's exactly what happened. Systematically, the two, well, you've seen the Jack Lemmon movie, whose name I've forgotten. 12 Angry Men, thank you. But so with regard to that subject, you know, frequently we're trying to arm our champions who do see the light. And one of the nice things I'll try to do softly internally is, you know, don't you guys find it ironic that we spend all this money on building databases and collecting data and cleaning data and getting it ready to move our business forward, and yet one of our top IT mandates is to prevent people from querying the data, right? I mean, sometimes you just have to call BS, right? At that 60,000 feet, it doesn't make any sense. And so those internal champions can sometimes use that argumentation to at least start experimenting in new directions. This specific objection we get all the time. If it's pervasive, and I think it comes in actually two forms. If I were in that meeting, my guess is that there'd be two things on that person's mind. One is this whole, we can't give the end users anything with which they will hurt themselves. Number two is, we can't give the end users anything which will hurt us, right? Us being the people who maintain the databases, okay? Number two is not one to easily blow through at a broad level, because it may very well be the case that if they turned over a real-time querying technology to a production database, they could have some serious problems. But over the course of several years, this, of course, is a completely ridiculous excuse. Databases are virtually free. I mean, virtually free, right? They're getting faster every day. And for a company not to architect a strategy that would allow more than a few people to ask questions of the business where the queries aren't being sent to a production system, you must ask whether IT is doing their job. Okay, we can't battle through that internally. All we can do is try to help people. But the other thing that you have to do, because that's not good enough, that just all sounds good, but okay, great, what do? We're leaving the meeting and we're making no progress. Well, that's actually one of the reasons architecturally we've always been big believers in making sure those downstream data products, you talked about, well, we give them, then they take into Excel and do their own thing. Actually, to us, that's why part of our business strategy has always been not to identify ourselves too strongly just with the big data warehouse. Okay, because the fact is a lot of those end users, if this is a sample similar to any of the ones I've seen, you go to desk to desk of those end users, right, and you'll find they're using that system to create their own data product, a data product meaning like a CSV dump or maybe just some records they pasted into Excel or an Access file or a little departmental warehouse where they, in turn, are asking their own questions. Okay, it's sort of, it wants to be alive, you know, and that is happening out there, but it's harder to identify, and you'll never get the straight story from IT. Because they either do not agree, admit this is happening, there's two camps. They either don't admit it's happening, in which case you go directly to the end users, or alternatively, they actually like it. Okay, the more, you know, the people that we actually admire in IT departments, because IT is often the friend. I don't want to paint them as the enemy. Often they're exactly the friend, and they'd like nothing better than to have fewer queries going to the central system, fewer long-term projects, and let people be more self-service with those downstream data products they're creating for themselves. But from a commercialization perspective, Tableau is one of the few tools that's actually pragmatic for that downstream data product. Because it's, you try it for free, there's no long-term deployment, you can train yourself, you know, et cetera, right? So you have to have a strategy. I don't know what products you're working on, but you kind of have to have a strategy that lets you both make this high-end argumentation over a longer, several-year period, while also giving people their own watermill to put on those downstream data products that are coming out. Right?
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Tatjana Landesberger from Germany. I liked very much what you presented, because basically this is the answer to the first dream of analysis, namely to play around with the data and to see the data from a different view. But my question goes a bit farther, whether you already have or intend to implement also some real analytical tools into your software, namely like regression analysis, time series analysis, and things like that, that help to answer not only the question why in the fourth quarter of 2007 we didn't have so much sales, but how much sales did we miss?
Absolutely. You know, you use the word, when are you going to put analytical things in your software? And of course, at some level, I take issue with it, because I think analysis, per my talk, has been a little bit ill-defined. I mean, I used to be, like, I was the biggest SaaS head on the face of the planet back when I was in, I basically worked in a subdiscipline called econometrics. at the firm I work for. And so, you know, statistics is crucial, it's vital, it's useful, it's proven. New advances are being made algorithmically all the time. But, you know, I think analytics defined as statistical batch algorithms is just not the right definition. Not that you were saying this, by the way. So for me, I mean, I actually think one of the things we try to do often is be a really reliable general purpose analysis product. That doesn't mean don't be an analysis product. It means be a really good general purpose analysis product. I've always hoped that someone from the community, I mentioned this to a professor once who looked at me like I was a little strange, but I actually hope someone would kind of make almost like Maslow's pyramid of analytical tasks, right? Some sociologists looking at analysts in their cubes, right? Because you kind of look at the building blocks of what people do to answer a question, it's things like filter, it's things like zoom, it's things like sort, it's things like calculate, it's things like disaggregate. And all of these things, which obviously a general purpose analysis tool does, are actually crucial to the analysis product. That's comment one. Comment two, of course, is I totally understand your question. And that there are, in fact, other, you might call it more algorithmically intensive analytical techniques, which should be part of the visual analytical process. In fact, the example you said was, well, that looked like Q4 was something unique, but you don't actually know that, right, statistically. So one thing we've done is actually we believe that working those things into the product is you should put the visual discovery first and let the algorithm support the task rather than vice versa. Okay, so rather than the process, like when I used to sit down, I would first summarize it. First, I would batch it all up, put it into a proprietary file, summarize it in some way, and then start literally writing code for batch algorithms I wanted to run, usually whatever the classic, you know. You write 10, and then you realize all the permutation, and you've got 800 before you know it, right? Different ways of statistically slicing in my case, it was often a control set, right? Whereas Tableau, under the leadership of Chris and Pat, took a pretty different approach. I mean, as an example, I guess where I'm going with this is I think one of the most important things in visual analytics from my perspective isn't so much like let's go out and invent some brand new algorithms as much as let's get known statistical algorithms and analytical techniques that are already proven, which is one of my themes, built into visual displays of information in a more compelling and immediate way than they are available today, right? An extreme example, of course, is the Chart Wizard, which, by the way, is the preferred visualization interface for 500 million people, okay? It has no analytics in it, okay? Not only does it not have the general purpose ones I mentioned, it has nothing like, well, it might have a trend line function of a very basic variety. But let me show you in Tableau, I'll actually like kind of drill down by state or drill down by, say, product type. And then I can right-click as an example and then add a model. And you'll notice what happens is Tableau didn't ask me any questions about what model I wanted. It basically looked at the visual specification I had on the screen and basically compiled the model for me. Now, that model will automatically update as I continue to explore. So it's almost like the statistics are following me in my visual investigation, which I would claim to many analysts is backwards to what they do. First, they do a statistical investigation with all their batch algorithms, and then at the end, they spit out 110 lines of visualize it, right? What if we turn it backwards? So visualize first, and then keep your investigation going. I'll pick up market and drop it onto color, okay? Let me right-click this model. Of course, I can look at its statistical significance, okay? I'll describe the trend model, and you'll see we haven't built four different models. We built one bigger model, okay? So, linear modeling actually falls really nicely out of this framework of table-based visualizations, if you look at this, okay? So you can see that, as an example, I have an ANOVA table there telling me the likelihood of whether or not the addition of the marketing category to that model improved the model, right? And it's right there in the visualization, okay? I could take date. Someone might say, yeah, but wait a second, it depends on, you know, year. Well, let's go look at the ANOVA table again. Let's see if that improved the model, okay? Actually, you know what? There's I can state the 10 assumptions of OLS, okay, which I'm not going to do, but if my assumptions are good, then you know what? Jenkins was right. The addition of date really was statistically significant in explaining the difference between the relationship between sales and profit over time, et cetera. So I want to give a concrete example of I think the best thing we can do is, one of the first things we should do is better bring known algorithms to bear on visual analytical interfaces in a way that falls more naturally out of the visual exploration process rather than vice versa.
Stefano Foresti, University of Utah and IntelliVis. It's been talked about the difficulty of adoption and enterprise, enterprise and government, and so on. In my experience, the investment community wants validation, and especially they don't think there is a vast market. How do you get things started?
Okay, could you say it again? Because you said one key word I didn't actually hear. not the vast word, I heard vast.
The investment community doesn't think there is a big market.
Oh, that's what you're saying. And what do you define as the investor community?
Angels, VCs, and so on.
Oh, those guys. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Uh-oh. Don't ever ask me about VCs. It doesn't usually go very well. I thought you meant like the buy side of the FI world, like large asset managers, and they're actually adopting our products in droves. You actually meant the investment community, as in the investment community who might potentially fund new ventures and commercialize.
Yeah, how do you get a company going?
I think that's a talk.
Given the difficulty of doing validation and...
I mean, I think that's a talk. I mean, I don't have a short, crisp answer for that. I will say that, well, let me put it this way, and I hope you don't consider this a cheat sheet, because I have a lot of advice on this, okay? I mean, it's one of the areas I actually know best. So one thing about my background is I actually worked in venture capital for 3 years. So I've actually been on both sides of the table. I definitely have a lot of opinions on this, so it would be great if you approached me over the next day or two, but... I will say this, just like in research, if you find yourself, and this is what I've learned from researchers, I'm not one, okay, but just like in research, you often need to discard old assumptions, question basic assumptions, question the way things have been done, the way Jim Thomas and crew have done, actually creating this very conference. So in business must you also. And the best financiers are unbelievably attracted to that. The last thing the best financiers want to hear is there's a huge category, we've all figured out we're going to mail dog food over the web with a 1-800 number, and it's a huge space, and it's a $1 billion market, and Gartner figured it out. I mean, the good guys, it's the last thing they want to hear. Because like Irv Grossbeck in my introduction, by that time, it's too late. Okay, so if you can bring, you know, you wouldn't be surprised to hear that when we presented our ideas, because we do have some venture as part of our growth strategy, and you know, some of the most important moments in those meetings over 5 or 6 years have been when we've questioned the basic assumptions that financiers behind them have held, backing visualization companies for 20 years, right? And so you may know more from your, assuming you're in research, you may know more about how to do this than you know. What did you say?
Crossing the chasm.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a whole other story. But anyway, I think it's about questioning assumptions, right? And the beauty of you know, of our country is, you know, we have a very live capital system of experienced people who do back growth companies and raise money to back growth companies. And the best amongst them, the best thing you can say is that everyone else has been thinking about it incorrectly. Okay, so sometimes I think there's a perception that everything's got to be teed up in some Gartner report, and that's just not true. So, but anyway, I have a lot to say about that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.